Your support is important to Living on Earth. Donate today by pressing the donate link on the left of this page. Every bit helps, and thanks.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Curwood. We continue now with our holiday storytelling special, and this year we're spending it with Caribbean storytellers. And now we're pleased to welcome a writer of three best-selling memoirs and two anthologies of Latino literature, Esmeralda Santiago. Esmeralda Santiago spent her young girlhood in rural Puerto Rico and then came of age in a place that couldn't be more urban, Brooklyn, New York. Esmeralda, thank you so much for being with us.
Hi. Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad.
Thank you. So you have some really, I have to say, they're delicious descriptions of Christmas or Navidad where you grew up with your sisters and brothers. I'm thinking of the smells. Tell me what it's like to prepare for Christmas on the island.
On the island, it is a feast for your nose because it's such a part of our cuisine to have highly aromatic food. And a lot of these things like oregano just grows wild, rosemary will just grow wild. You're smelling the garlic, you're smelling the onion, the rosemary, the bay leaves, the ginger, the coconut, which is such a big part of Christmas, cinnamon, cloves. But also you're looking at these beautiful colors of these spices and things that are only served at Christmas. You really can just walk around and just smell to your heart's content.
Now, in Puerto Rico, don't they have those little pigs that they serve special at the holidays?
Well, we have the lechon, and that is a pig. I remember as a child that we would get the cerdo, and so it's called a cerdo while it's alive. It's called a pig while it's alive. And my mother would feed it scraps from the table, and we would basically take care of this animal that would then be slaughtered for our Nochebuena meal, which was on the 24th of December. And so I grew up thinking of the animals that we had as part of our meals. They were not pets for me. And to this day, I really have a hard time with household pets because, you know, I think, why feed it if you're not going to eat it? made it a little challenging when my children were growing up and wanted dogs and cats. And
hey, can we hear some of that music that you would have played as you were turning the suckling pig over the fire?
I think you can.
Nos cantando desde Nochebuena, queremos bailar, traemos las parejas, no queremos ron, ni tampoco brandy, que lo que queremos es la sala pa'l baile, que lo que queremos es la sala pa'l baile.
No tenemos culpa de llegar así, fue don Juancho Castro que nos trajo aquí. No tenemos culpa de llegar así, fue don Juancho Castro que nos trajo aquí.
Vamos cantando desde Nochebuena, queremos bailar, traemos las parejas, no queremos ron, ni tampoco brandy, que lo que queremos es la sala pa'l baile.
You know, that's so bright and cheerful to have as you're roasting your pig, huh?
Yes, and this actually, that particular song speaks about something that is very much a part of the Puerto Rican celebration of the holidays, and that is the parrandas. And the parrandas are just a group of people who get together with whatever instruments they have at hand, sometimes just their hands, sometimes a can on a stick, and they go from house to house singing these traditional songs, and all they expect is that the people there might maybe give them, you know, something to drink, or if there's food, they get fed. But the whole idea is that everybody dances together, sings the songs together, and shares in the the joyful spirit of the holiday season. And one of the words that is used, the parrandas are the people who go from house to house, but when they actually arrive at your door, the whole idea is that they take you by surprise, so that they love it when you have just gone to sleep, and then all of a sudden there's people outside of your house singing and clapping, and this is called an asalto. And the idea is that then, you know, you're wearing your rollers and your face creams and you've been asleep for a couple of hours. So I'm speaking from experience. So you get up and open the doors, turn on all the lights, and immediately start cooking an asopao, or you pull out whatever you can find in the house to feed the musicians, give them something to drink. Some people make the traditional drink coquito, which is coconut milk with rum and spices. And then you just have this big party until daylight comes, and then everybody leaves, and sometimes you go back to bed. Or more frequently, what happens is the householders then join the parrandas and go on to the next one, to the next person's house.
Now, there are a lot of places around the world that focus less on Christmas Day, if you're looking at the Christian tradition at the holidays, but more on Christmas Eve and then at Epiphany. Or in Latin America, it's called, what, Three Kings Day?
Sí, el Día de los Tres Reyes Magos, the Three Magi's Days. And Christmas Day was really a day for reflection. You went to Mass, you pretty much slept from having been partying all night. So we actually opened our presents on Nochebuena.
And then what happens on the Three Kings Day?
Well, on Three Kings Day, that's when the three kings, the three magi, who have been traveling for thousands of miles on their camels, come and leave presents for all the girls and boys who have been good little girls and boys that year. And in order to prepare for them, we, of course, try to be good little girls and boys, but we also try to curry favor by leaving delicious fresh grass for their camels in our shoes and leaving some water for the camel, for the three kings to drink, because, of course, they've been traveling such a long way and they must be thirsty. And we go to sleep, and the next day we get our three kings' gifts. And the tradition is, in fact, that that's when you get your big present, is on the Three Kings Day.
Now, you have a story about one Christmas, one Navidad, when there was one thing that as a little girl you wanted so badly. Could you read your story of that doll?
I would be happy to read A Baby Doll Like My Cousin Jenny's. I was 8, and I wanted a baby doll like my cousin Jenny's, with pink skin and thick-lashed blue eyes that shut when we lay her down to sleep. The doll had no hair, but its plastic skull was traced with curved lines that ended in a curl on her forehead, painted chestnut. It was the size of a small baby, its chubby arms and legs slightly bent, its tiny fingers open to reveal a hand with deep furrows and mounds. I loved the way it smelled, rubbery sweet, and its round little body with a tiny, perfectly formed navel above its belly fold. The baby doll had no penis, but there was a little hole in her bottom at the end of the crease on her back that defined her tiny, flat buttocks. Christmas was coming. I could tell because the songs on the radio were about how much the singer needed a drink, or about how his woman had left him alone and miserable through the holidays. There were other songs about the parrandas who went from house to house playing music in exchange for a piece of roasted pork or a pastel wrapped in a banana leaf or a shot of roncañita. The neighbors tied red crepe paper around hibiscus and gardenia bushes, hung crocheted snowflakes along the eaves of their tin roofs, displayed flaming poinsettias on their porches. The smells of Christmas floated from every kitchen: ginger and cloves, cinnamon and coconut, oregano, rosemary, garlic. Thick gray smoke curled from the backyards where pigs roasted, their skin crackling and sizzling to the scratching of guiros, the strumming of cuatros, the plaintive aguinaldos about the birth of Jesus on Nochebuena. While Nochebuena was the adult's holiday, El Día de los Tres Reyes Magos was for children, the day we'd wake to find the presents they delivered after traveling thousands of miles by camel. Papi helped me compose a letter, which I worked on for days, laboriously copying it over and over until there were no spelling errors and my request was clear. Dear Three Magi, I have been good this year. You can ask Mommy and Papi if you don't believe me. I would like a baby doll like my cousin Jenny's, with blue eyes that close. I hope you like the water I left and the grass for the camels. Have a good journey. Sincerely, Esmeralda Santiago, Negi. Papi gave me a sheet of paper from the ones he used to write his letters and poems and let me borrow his pen, which meant I couldn't make mistakes because the ink could not be erased. My sister Delsa asked me to write a letter for her. Ask them, she said, for a baby doll like the one Jenny has. But that's what I want, I said. We can both get one and pretend they're sisters. But I didn't want Delsa to have a doll like mine, so in Delsa's letter I wrote, Dear Three Magi, I have been good this year. I would like a doll, but not like the one you're giving Negi, so that we won't get confused. Sincerely, Delsa Santiago. I didn't ask Papi to check the spelling, and I wrote her letter on a piece of notebook paper. When Delsa complained, I told her the Three Magi would know she hadn't written it if the letter looked too fancy, since they knew she was only 6 years old and couldn't write very well. The days between Nochebuena and El Día de los Reyes were the longest 2 weeks of the year. Right in the middle, we celebrated New Year's with noisemakers and songs that no longer despaired of lonely holidays, but hoped for better days ahead. Mommy and Papi gave us cloth pouches filled with nuts and raisins, and we were allowed a sip from the coquito Mommy made, which tasted sweet and coconutty and made our heads spin if we sneaked more when our parents weren't looking. The night before the Three Magi were to come, my sisters and brother and I searched for the freshest, most tender blades of grass to leave in our shoes for the Magi's camels. We placed the shoes under our beds, the toes sticking out so that the Magi would see them. We cleaned out empty tomato sauce cans and filled them with water from the drums at the corners of the house. Then we lined them up by the door, my letter in front of my can and Delsa's in front of hers. The other kids complained that we had an advantage because we could write, but Mommy convinced them that the Three Magi knew what each of us liked, even without a letter. I woke up while it was still dark. Two shadows moved around the room, carrying bundles in their hands. I closed my eyes quickly. It must be two of the Magi, I thought, while the third stays outside with the camels. Next time I woke, it was daylight, and Delsa was squealing in my ear. Look, Negi, look! I got a baby doll, just like Jenny's! I scrambled out of bed, looked under it, found a flat rectangular package under my shoes. It didn't look wide enough to hold a baby doll. It was a box with a colorful painting of a racetrack divided into squares and stiff horses in various positions around it. Papi saw my disappointment and asked, "Don't you like it?" His face looked worried, and Mommy came and stood next to him and looked at me sadly. I wanted a doll, I cried, like that one. I grabbed the doll from Delsa's arms, and she grabbed it back and ran to a corner of the room. Mommy and Papi looked at each other. Mommy knelt and hugged me. You're a big girl. This game is for a big girl. Dolls are for little kids. But I want a doll, I sobbed. She looked at Papi, who took my hand and walked me to the yard. Across the room, Delsa undid the baby doll's dress, its pale pink skin glowing under her brown fingers. I'm sorry, he said. I couldn't afford two dolls, and she's younger. What? I'll get you a doll for your birthday. What happened to the Three Magi? Papi looked at me, his eyes startled, his lips pursed into a tight O. I'm sorry, he said. and hugged me. The end.
The end. You grow up to a certain age in Puerto Rico, but at a certain point, your mom decides to take you, what, to New York City, where her parents were? I want you to go back for a moment to that apartment in Brooklyn, and you're 13 years old. Tell me how you got started telling stories.
One of the strongest memories that I have of our first winter in Brooklyn was that we lived in an apartment that was three rooms, and it was the apartment was not heated, which we didn't know when my mother rented it. So here it was, my mother, my six sisters and brothers, the youngest of whom was about five, my grandmother and my grandmother's boyfriend, all living in this three-room apartment, and which was unheated. So in the evening, we would all gather in the kitchen, because in the kitchen was the gas stove, and my grandmother would light the oven, and we would kind of sit around the oven and tell stories. And because I was the reader in the family, usually I began to tell a story, either something that I had read or something I had learned in school, or more frequently something I completely made up on the spot. And at some point, my mother would get up and say, "Go on, keep on telling the story. I'm just going to make some hot chocolate." And the way that she made hot chocolate was she begins by grating a big bar of dark chocolate and melting it in a double boiler, and then boiling the milk and boiling it several times, because having grown up in the country, she still did not believe pasteurization would get rid of all the germs. So she still boiled it the way she did when we used to get the milk right from the cow. And we would all sit and have hot chocolate and saltine crackers as the stories are being told.
And what was the story that your little sister kept asking you to tell over and over and over again?
Well, they were all, they loved the stories about princesses in which the princess was a heroine. So they really focused on this whole idea that we didn't like the, you know, sleeping princess and the prince comes through with the sword and right. Okay. You know, we were raised by a single mother. So so we just didn't quite believe in the hero prince at all. And so the stories that were the ones that I was asked to tell were just these altered stories where I would begin with Cinderella or Snow White or any of the traditional fairy tale princesses, but it didn't end with her being rescued by a prince. It very likely would end up her rescuing the prince or just having some marvelous adventures or some marvelous battles. And that was really the things that they were most eager to hear about, because we were little girls who had no power, really, and just envisioning ourselves as powerful princesses was the one thing that we indulged in the privacy of our own little kitchen with the open oven door.
Esmeralda Santiago's next novel is going to be called Whisperings of Tropic Nights. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been really fun talking to you and remembering my beautiful island and its lovely, lovely traditions.
Me gustan las navidades que sepan a Puerto Rico, comiendo pasteles y lechón asado y dándome unos palitos de tierras lejanas. Vienen los tres reyes, les sirve de guía la estrella de oriente. Yo vengo de lejos hasta tu morada.
Just ahead, how the steel pan was born in verse. Keep listening to Living on Earth.
Support for the Environmental Health Desk at Living on Earth comes from the Cedar Tree Foundation. Support also comes from the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Fund for coverage of population and the environment. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.